right, let's take a look at this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will give to us that wisdom and that grace to be ready at any time for the return of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you will help us to understand the challenge of it all. We pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning as we wrap up the teachings of the Lord Jesus from the Gospels. We pray that you will give to us that wisdom to know how to apply this appropriately. We pray for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we take up from Matthew 24 at verse 36 downwards, and we'll just take a look and see. Okay, now this is important. Okay, specifically, but of the day and hour. See, why do people need to know the specific day and hour? See, that's a peculiar part of us. Why can't we be always ready? Now, that is our problem. And I think we all know this difficulty. Because we think that we can be ready at the last minute. Just like Shubin, you know, questioned, you know, can you study very hard and pass your exams? Yes. Can you survive all the way through university? Yes. You only pass. But it does not mean you've actually learned. That's the problem. Unfortunately, this particular test is not going to work. Right? 365 of the days, we are not ready. The last 20 days, I'm going to get ready. Sorry, it doesn't work with the Lord. That kind of approach is... frankly, not going to work. We better know this right from the start. Okay, well, let's take a look at this very carefully. So, if we are looking for the day and for the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father alone. That is it. Now, let's take a look at the two comparisons that are there. Now, let's take a look at this very, very carefully. Okay, one. The days of Noah compared to the Son of Man. Now, that is interesting. Okay? So, when we take a look at his comparison, we are just concerned. Okay? Because the days of Noah were days of warning about judgment. There were days of warning where grace is given. And if we are not ready, we're not going to be in the ark. There is no way you can build a pontoon to survive the ark. There is no way you can hang on to a tree somewhere and hope that you can ride the tide. Either we are in the ark or we are out. So the days of Noah, it's an interesting illustration. Okay, so what were those days like? Okay, one, normal eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, nobody cared. Nobody believed, as it were, and that they did not know. Now, that's the problem. You can't say they did not know. You can't really say that they did not know in that sense. They see Noah building an ark and they laugh at him and they scoff and they scorn him and make fun of him. See, this is the part of the did not know. They did not know with reference to whether it's true, whether it's going to come to pass. That part they did not know. They've never seen a flood. Same thing. They don't understand the second coming of Christ. So when they are going to get ready at the very last moment, the answer is not going to work. So, coming of the Son of Man. So now we have Noah and we have the Son of Man coming back.
And if we were to look at these two approaches, I mean, we take a look at it, we're going to see the same parallel. Do people believe in the second coming of Christ? Not really. So they keep on thinking, you know, well, you know, if you tell me the day and hour, you know, I am going to be more ready. It doesn't work. Because if there's a huge flood coming, no matter what you do, you're not going to escape it. That is the problem. The idea of they did not know with reference to the understanding of it all, the significance of it all, the import of it all, until it is completely too late. Okay? And then we went on further. Two men in the field, one taken, the other left behind. Now that becomes a problem. Both were working in the field, normal circumstances. Right? They were workers in the field. One was ready, one was not. You see, it's a state of readiness. And there is no way you can say, you know, I'll wait for that day to come. You can't. So that's a wrong understanding, wrong application of it all. Okay, then we talk about two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Same idea. So these little comparisons are there to remind us that these things will happen. And the person, well, I didn't know. Sorry, the general word has been given. So you cannot say, I don't know. Did the Lord Jesus Christ come the first time? Nobody knew. When he comes again the second time, you know, I'm afraid it's going to be the same thing. You know, we hardly ever learn any real lessons in history. There was a famous statement, this is the war that will end all wars. Really? You could have fooled me. When? How did it happen? Does it mean anything? Not really. Genocide, again and again. Ethnic cleansing, again and again. Prejudicial fighting, again and again. What else is new? No matter what you're going to do, people are going to do the same thing again and yet again. There's no two ways about it. So that is your challenge. How do we prepare? Now, that's an interesting word in verse 42, watch. Okay, now, this idea of watching, this word here, watch, it's a very peculiar word. Because the idea of watching, I mean, if you want to translate literally, of course, it cannot be applied. It literally means, don't close your eyes. It means keep your eyes peeled. It means open your eyes all the time. Not going to happen physically. But that's what it is, you see. I mean, a person can be on sentry duty, be on guard duty. And the eyes may be open, but the person has actually gone to sleep. And NS men are very good at that. You should see them. They can sleep anywhere. On board the bus, standing. They are not actually there. Physically, they are there, but they're gone. You see them at a truck, you know, when you see the green trucks at the back, you see a lot of them are sleeping. Half the time, you're afraid if there's a joke, they will fall off. But you see that all the time. Now, that's what we have to be warned about. Be watchful. The idea is you are meant to be. Now, if you are sleeping, when Christ comes in, we are sleeping because you are tired. It's at night time. You don't worry about that. Okay? He'll wake you up. Hey, it's time to go. The problem is not this. The problem is that we are not watchful at all. When we should be watching, we are not. I think that is an important thing. This word is an interesting word. Watch, therefore. You do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Okay? Now, this is interesting. The master of the house. Now, that is an interesting word. Okay? A master of the house had known what hour the thief would come. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Same. So you were the master of your house. If you know the thief is coming at 2 a.m., you'll be ready. The dogs are ready. The policemen are ready. Welcome. And the fellow is napped. Of course, he's not going to tell you, I am going to be here at 2 a.m. He's not. He's going to come at a time when you're not ready, you're not prepared. And that is going to happen. And that could really, really, really be the master of the house will be caught unawares. Therefore, be ready. Right? I mean, we've got to do our part. If you need to alarm your house, you alarm your house. You do your part. If you need to be ready, you be ready. You need to do your part. But if you are totally unprepared, sorry, not going to work. You see, I mean, this is a state of readiness. Some people think, well, I'm already saved, and it's okay. You know, I'm just really worried about people who think that I'm already saved, it's okay, nothing's going to happen. I'm really worried about the attitude. Because that attitude does not tell me this person is really, truly understands what it means to be a believer. You don't. If you are a true believer, one of the things you will watch out for is the return of the Lord. Right? And if you wish you would return just before the exam results. Not going to happen. You've got to watch for the Lord's return as a sense of joyful anticipation. That is the whole idea. That's natural. Right? I mean, this is something that works. That is how it should be. Okay? Well, then the illustration. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household? Look at verse 45 here. And we take a look. Who is this wise servant? Right? And this person has been made, the master of the house has made him, in charge of the thing here. Okay? And the illustration is, here he is, he's given them food in due season. Keyword is, what is that servant really like? When his master comes, you know, this person is going to be found faithful. Now that is the challenge. To be found faithful in the work that has been entrusted to us, to me, that is the greatest joy. That's what we should be. So I start with, I am a believer. Right? And I am alert and anticipating the return of the Lord, as I should. And I'm going to be found faithful until on the day that he returns, from beginning to the end. Maybe I may slip here and there. I may falter from time to time. But generally speaking, I want to be alert. Is it possible? Yes. I mean, this is something that we understand and appreciate. Right? It's something that you can't... escape from. There are certain things you cannot escape from. You cannot escape the eye of your tailor. You go and make some clothes, you make a jacket, and the tailor takes one look at you and he said, something's changed. Well, used to be one person, he can put his hand around you. Now he needs an assistant. One to hold and the other one to go around. Well, then, you know something's changed. Well, when we take a look at how the Lord is when he relates to us, and okay, I've entrusted you with this, now be faithful. We can't but be faithful. That's just no other way. Right? We are His servants. We become a child of God. We become a servant. And we become faithful in all our house. Whatever that responsibility may be. But should we neglect along the way? Now, we have serious problems on our hands. Now, we have to work it out. We have serious difficulties along the way. Okay? But that person, is it possible to have a person who is faithful? Yes. And when the master comes back, the Lord of the house comes back, he will look at the person, you've been faithful. Right? You've been entrusted, you've been faithful, and off you go. But if that evil servant says in his heart, verse 44, now that is an interesting phrase there, right? Verse 48 here, and we see this word here. Now, if that servant is bad, I mean, that word translated is evil. Literally, he's a bad servant. You're either good or you're a bad servant. This is no other way. Can I be a neutral servant? Can't. You can't go on neutral unless you're going downhill. Then you don't need anything. You just need to go downhill. Going downhill is no need to go and accelerate. Just be neutral. You go down. But surely you can't go up on neutral. You can't. You can't move. Even on a flat road, for maybe a bit of momentum, somebody knocks you and that's it. You can't go. And so here is a bad servant. What is this bad servant all about? Well, we look at verse 48, right? And he says, well, first, my master is delaying his coming. Actually, there is no delay. There never was. The Lord doesn't have a delay, you know, for what? Why would he be delayed? The MRT broke down. Nothing will delay the Lord. There is a time program. It's going to happen. And that is what it is. It's delaying his coming. Nope. And he begins to beat his fellow servants. There we go. In other words, he ill-treats. Now he eats and drinks with the drunkards. He's obviously not at home. Obviously, he's not doing what he needs to do. And so there we go. And then the master of that servant will come on the day when he's not looking for him at the hour that he's not aware of. What will happen? He will appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be gnashing of teeth. Okay? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And someone asked, what if I have no teeth? And the answer is, he will give you false teeth. There will be gnashing of teeth. In other words, you're going to grind your teeth with frustration, with anger, with disappointment. So at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what does the second coming of Christ really mean to us? Now, what does it really mean? Well, let me take you into the Thessalonian epistles to help you catch a glimpse of this. We begin with 1 Thessalonians. Now, I use this particular church as a tremendous example. Right? Paul was there for only 2 Sabbaths, which means to say 2 to 3 weeks. Right? He begins one Sabbath, he takes another second Sabbath, and he extends it over maybe 2 weeks, maybe a bit more. And that's all he had time with them. In that short 2 or 3 weeks, he taught them many things, including the second coming of Christ. Right? So here is salvation. And it ends with second coming of Christ. It's natural. That's what it is. We need to be saved. We need to serve. He's coming. We need to be faithful. At least three lessons we need to learn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we see this. Okay? Our gospel, verse 5, did not come to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance. Okay? And then in verse, we read, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. They became examples. Okay? And then we read what it is. Look at verse 10. Well, he says, they themselves declare concerning us how you turn to God, number one. Two, serve the living God and true, serve living and true God. Three, to wait for His Son. These are three basic things we need to learn. One, turn from idols to the true and living God. Two, we serve Him. Three, we wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, this is where a lot of people ask, will we be saved from the wrath to come? That's what Christ came to do. Right? So we look at these three basic things. Number one, we come to salvation. Number two, we just want to serve. Number three, we wait for His coming. You cannot pick and choose. Okay, I want to be saved. I don't want to serve. I don't want to be wait. I want to wait for His coming. Question, are you really saved? Seriously, are you really saved? How can a person who says, I have been saved from sin, I worship a living God, but I don't want to serve Him. Does it work? No, it doesn't. Right? So here is salvation, here is service. The third part of it has got to go together. We wait for the return of the Lord to complete that work of salvation and sanctification. We can't but look at this thing as three basic things that we need to have. To be saved, to serve, to wait for His coming. And the Thessalonian church understood this. And immediately inside their hearts, it was there. With joy they came to salvation. With joy they served the Lord. With joy they waited for the return of the Lord. There was persecution. They had tribulation. They had difficulty. But they held fast. Is it possible? It's more than possible. It is normal. Right? Look at these three things. One, salvation. Two, service. Three, waiting for the return of the Lord. That is natural. That is what it is. Okay? You are sick. You go and see a doctor. He wants to get you well. The last thing he wants to do is see you again in hospital. Get well. Live well. That's what it is. That's what we want to see. Now, look at 2 Thessalonians. And we see this very, very clearly. Right? Now, in chapter 1, we see this word here. Okay? They continue. And it says, verse 4, we boast of you among the churches of God for your patience. The word is perseverance here. For your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you had to endure. There was patience, there was perseverance. This was real faith. That's what it is. Through all the difficulties, through all the challenges, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Right? So we are not afraid of suffering for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's natural for us. This is nothing. Right, now, watch this very carefully. Okay? To give to you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. This time, the second coming of Christ is different. He will come with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God or those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified with His saints, to be admired among all those who believe, what do we look for when Christ comes back? We look forward to be identified with Him. We look forward to admire Him. We look forward to be literally be part of Him, glorified in His saints. What a wonderful concept for all who are awaiting the coming of the Lord. We ought to be more than ready. Anytime we are ready in the work that has been entrusted to us. And when we talk about the Lord, we talk about the Lord. We seek to win people for Christ. We want to be an example to them. We want to tell them of what the Lord is coming for. He is coming for us, to those who believe. And this is important. So we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is how we look forward to it. So when we look at the second coming of Christ, it is something to be looked forward to. We look at it with greatest joy because His coming for us. No more tribulation. And those who are not ready, they will face tribulation of the worst kind. Right? So why should we not look forward to that? I think we should be looking forward, like in the book of Revelation, John says, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit says, come. And all who love the Lord, one word, Lord, come. Return. That would be a wonderful thing. Now let's look at chapter 2. And now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord and our gathering together to Him. See, we are going to be gathered. And the Lord is going to call. He's going to call you by name. Your names are registered with the Lord in heaven. And He's going to call. And we are going to be ready. Well, that would be the greatest joy of it all. Okay? Not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble by spirit or word or letter as if from come. You know, some people already say, oh, the day of Christ has already come. Let no one deceive you by any means. Now, here comes another sign, huge one. Watch this sign, because it's already happened. Watch this sign, okay? Look at this. Let no one deceive you, unless the falling away comes first. The falling away is what we call an apostasy. And we are seeing a wholesale apostasy all over the world. We have major church denominations that deny Christ's return, that deny the scriptures are the word of God, that deny the virgin birth, they deny Christmas, deny resurrection. We call this a great falling away from the faith. And when major denominations have this problem, it becomes frightening. That was interesting yesterday, I received an email from a person from the US, and the person said, I've got a job in Singapore. And I searched all the websites and I found you. Can I come over to worship in your church? You know, I'm Presbyterian too. So I said, by all means, come on over. We'd be very glad to have you with us. Imagine, I'm glad the person searched all over the place to find a church and he found us. So web team, keep it up. You know, that's how people find us. And that they look at the things we have on a website. Have you seen the website? This one not updated. Last updated 3 years ago. I've seen this kind of website. It's pretty scary. Some only have a nice page. Inside, nothing. Why? It's pretty scary when there is nothing there. Nothing to update. Nothing fresh. Nothing alive. Nothing dynamic. Nothing interesting. Nothing biblical. And we are committed to what we believe in, ready for the Lord's return at any time. That's how we, that's why we keep ourselves ready. So when we celebrate Easter, that's how we get ready too. We encourage each other, gathering of ourselves together as we should. Looking forward and say, this is another, this is the Lord's return. Every time we gather, we should be reminding ourselves that this is what it is. Okay? If you wait for the man of sin to come, I'm sorry, we'll be too late. If you have to meet with the Antichrist, well, that's going to be a really, really tough situation. Okay? And he will come with all the... That's why John wrote in his epistle, he says that many Antichrists have already come. The Antichrist will come one day. But don't wait for that the Antichrist. There are already many Antichrists who have already come into the world. And they are going to say all kinds of things. Chapter 2, we read. This is the mystery of lawlessness. Verse 7. It is at work already. It's already at work. That's what John meant when he said many Antichrists. What will he do? Okay? The lawless one will read. The Lord will consume him one day. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Please do not think he is just going to be an ordinary person. With all power, signs, lying wonders, unrighteous deception. Why? Who will be deceived? Just about everybody, except those who love the truth. This is why we are so committed to the studying of the truth all the time. We are committed to studying the Word of God as our safety. This is the only way in which we can be safe. We can be certain that we are not going to be caught up with all kinds of things. You will be surprised how many books out there will tell you about the signs and wonders that they have seen. Every time they see a blood moon, they will tell you there's a sign. You're going to see anything and everything becomes a sign. And you want to be very, very careful because that's not the coming of the Lord at all. Okay? And so they will believe the lie. And they will be condemned who did not believe the truth. Right? So this is the challenge to all of us. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved of God. Right? Because from the beginning, the Lord chose you for salvation. How wonderful it is to know that we are chosen for salvation. We are also chosen for service. We are also chosen to be ready when He comes. And I just hope that we will be ready when He comes. See, a lot of us, well, then we have a lot of catching up to do. Well, start catching up. Start now. Don't wait for 21 days before Christ, I will be ready. You're not going to be ready. It starts now. It really does. And that is the challenge of it all. And I want to leave you with this last message over here, asking you, urging you, can we get ready? Look at the Thessalonian church. They had instruction for about 2 to 3 weeks. That's all. But truth is truth. If it is there, it's not a question of time. If it is for real, if it is true, it's going to last you a lifetime. That's how it works. That's how you know you got real faith. That's how you know you truly belong to the Lord. That's a part of you. That truth is inside you. You may start later, you may start earlier, it really doesn't matter. If it is true, you will understand the nature of it all. The coming of the Lord is as real as you can get. Right here, it is with His words. Is it possible? Absolutely. What would you need to do? Okay, I'm not asking you, okay, now I must read Jeremiah 52 times. You don't need to do that. And I just ask you, read chapter 7 a little bit, read chapter 24, verse 7, and then 29, 30, 31, 32. Just these few verses, memorize, make it a part of your life. Okay? If you can read the other chapters and understand, good for you. You don't need to understand every single book. You just need to do the three basic truths. Are you truly saved? And if you are truly saved, are you serving? It goes together. And then, are you awaiting the return of Christ? Three wonderful truths. And all you're contented is, I'm saved. And you don't want to think about service, nor do you really want to think about the coming of the Lord. If I were you, I would check your salvation. Because I did. When I was younger, I thought I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I said the right prayer. I still remember the prayer I made. I didn't know how to pray. So I wrote up my prayer to God. And I said, you know, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like you to be my heavenly Father. Amen. You couldn't get more sincere than that. Problem, I was still the old person. When I was a few years older, you know, I had a temper problem, I had a bad language problem, I am a very, very reactive person. And I said, Lord, if I don't know whether I'm safe or not, but these are the problems I have. Lord, if you really have saved me, change me. Take away that temper. Take away my bad vocabulary. Give me a new language. Change me. That's when I began to change. Change, salvation, go together. Change, transformation, salvation, go together. Both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason, He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Today's Bible verse in Hebrews 2:11. That's natural. So there is the change. A desire to serve was there automatically. Just want to serve. Whatever capacity, I want to serve. And I added one more. Lord, come. You know, when you are ready, Lord, come. In your time, come. Just come. And I want to be watchful until He comes. That's three things I want to do to be sure I'm saved, to know I'm serving, and wait for the Lord Jesus to return. Three things. So if 81 lessons, you can remember the three things. You're doing well. One, two, and three. Consider this very carefully. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You so very much for the challenge to know Your Word, to check our salvation, to see how we are serving You, and then finally, to check whether we are awaiting the return of our precious Savior. And Father, we pray that our hearts would desire to see His return, to see how He will redeem us completely from the face of sin on this earth, to take us to be with Him forever. May this become real to us. May our hearts long for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do this great work within our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.